Jesus today in Florida and Tom Cruise. You can be seated. Hey, man, it's been a wild weekend here at Florida. We're getting ready to come to Florida soon and do the women's conference, but this weekend, Friday and Saturday, was unbelievable. If you were there, come on, make some noise. It was adventure like crazy. And so we kind of wanted to actually continue that theme through this weekend on adventures in faith and in different levels of faith. How many of y'all would say at one of our campuses today that you're in the fight of faith in one area or another? Raise your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're in good company. So today we're going to talk about the different levels of faith. And so probably one of my first motorcycles ever was this little Honda 50. And how many would probably think that that bike has a lot more power than that bike? I mean, I would have rode this out here, but my pride wouldn't let me do it. How many of y'all don't want to see your pastor doing that after Tom Cruise is like, I can fly. I do my own stunts. How many of y'all look at your neighbor and tell them, say, I do my own stunts. Go ahead. You ought to look back and say, don't pull that stunt on me. You know what I mean? Don't do that. So there's different levels. In fact, a friend of mine told me, his name's Keith Moore, and when I first got into flying, he said, power, he said, he talked like this from Louisiana. So he said, power, it'll save your life. In other words, you can come up on some obstacles, a gust of wind, and there's a tree, and power can save your life. And I want to tell you at all campuses today that power, the power of God, can save your life, but it's not just like God's power. I want to teach you this weekend how to operate and how to increase your power by growing your faith. You might say, hey, I'm new to this whole Jesus thing and church thing, and that's fine. But I think the best way to really demonstrate it, and we'll get into that in a second, is this scripture. And this scripture is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see, now the place we are dwelling is too small for us. And this might be in your life right now. You're like, it's just, I need to grow bigger. I feel like God has more for me, but where I'm at is too small. Not enough power. He said, please let us go over to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us, everybody shout, what? Who's going to do this? Let us. Shout it again, Florida. What? So God's not going to do this for you. This is going to be you doing your own stunts. Let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. And I want you to shout that. I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, notice God didn't cut down trees. Who cut down the trees? You got to do it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Now, I noticed this, that a lot of people want God just to wave a magic wand. I went to church 3 times last year, not consecutively, but I went 3 times. I was pretty much on time. But yet, if we're on time for the airlines, because you know that Southwest will leave your happy butt standing there. If they left on time, but that's a whole other sermon. But we show up for certain things. The movie's going to start on time. I got to be there. But then we kind of lackadaisical go through life when it comes to the whole Jesus thing and the church thing. And so what we do is we don't get the most out of God. And how many of y'all were pretty impressed with Tom Cruise's ability at 60 years old? How many would be impressed at 40 years old? I would be impressed at 19. Come on, somebody. I ain't jumping off. No. But if you notice, he said, that's a 10-minute video you can watch on YouTube. It's quite impressive. Dr. Frisella sent it to me. And as I watched it, he's saying, hey, I did 1,300 jumps. This is the 7th time today I jumped off. What is that? That's practice. So your faith grows by practice. So the enemy's been setting you up for a while, from a headache to a tumor to whatever it is. And so as your faith grows, the power of God grows in your life. And then all of a sudden you realize, hey, God has done everything he's going to do. Now I've got to do what I've got to do. And one of the things I have to do is go to church. Come on, somebody. Hear the word. Help me with this. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Shout it again, class. What?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. So it says, and they cut down, 6:4, he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But then when they're cutting down the trees, the iron axe, it fell into the water, and he cried and says, for it was borrowed. Notice, you always cry when you borrow stuff, right? So he loses it, and it was borrowed on top of it. Verse 6, very important. So the man of God said, where did it fall? 2 things I want you to notice and underline this weekend. 1, the man of God. You have to have a man or a woman of God speaking into your life, especially when there's tragedy, and they got to speak into you and say, hey, here's how you jump. See, like Tom Cruise didn't just start jumping off. He had coaches. He had, first of all, we had Evel Knievel. Anybody old enough to remember Evel Knievel, right? How many of y'all also remember Super Dave, the stupid guy, right? Because that's not me, by the way, if you're there. But somebody goes before you and they fight battles, and then you go and you do what they do. That's why the Bible said, be faithful followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. So he's the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's the same one that got water out of a rock. He's the same one that healed the man with the withered hand. He's the same one that healed blind Bartimaeus. And he hasn't forgotten the recipe on how to do this, but it's gonna take our participation, and you're gonna have to have a man or a woman of God speaking into your life continually saying, hey, Tom, you're gonna have to do more jumps today. I don't wanna jump today. It's too much, it's repetitive. But he looks so cool in the movie. How many of y'all think he looks killer cool? I mean, you know, that'll make you a chick magnet. I mean, you know, you're the coolest grandpa in the world. But he didn't just go, I'm just one and done. No, it's not a one and done situation. You don't just go to church on one Sunday and your whole life gets straightened out. No, you have to have, put it up on the screen again, all campuses, verse 6, you have to have a man of God in your life. And then the man of God asked a question, where did it fall? Great question. So he showed him roughly where it fell, then he cut off a stick, he threw it there, and he, capital H, this is God, if you guys could correct that at any other services, that should be a capital H there. He didn't make it happen, Elisha didn't happen. The man who borrowed it didn't make it happen. Only God, he, capital H, made that happen. You can't throw a stick, look how quick the team is, come on, give it up. No, there's no tomorrow, come on. That's the Tom Cruise of this one, yeah. He. Everybody shout, he.
He,
won't he do it, right? So he, God, made it float. I'm gonna tell you that God can take something impossible. He is more than able to take this thing and just make it float up. He can reverse a mortgage, come on. He can reverse a sentence. He can reverse whatever the devil put up on you. God in his power can make you soar over the obstacles. Am I preaching to anybody today but myself? He, everybody shout, he. Then the verse 7 says, therefore he said, pick it up again, I underlined it, for yourself. I can't do it. Nobody looked cool except Tom Cruise. His little guy with the beard telling him how many jumps he made, not so cool. The guy who was like tying his, you know, tires, airing up the tires, not so cool. There's only one person who got out of the boat that day, and that was Peter. You got two types of people. You got people who watch, and you got people that do. And I want doers of the word, not hearers only, who say, you know what? I'm about to possess my territory. I'm about to get what everything the devil tried to take from me, I'm gonna get it back. Plus, even though the devil tried to kill me, I'm actually gonna turn it into a testimony, write a book, stick it in the devil's face and say, take that, devil. Anybody else got that same kind of thing going on? Uh-huh. So he did it. So God did it, but he used people, and that's why you're at Faith Church today, to help get you there. And again, I know I talk to Growth Track all the time. By the way, I'm not on commission for Growth Track. I just believe in it. And I believe if you go to Growth Track, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You're gonna get around some people, they're gonna teach you some things, and then you're gonna use your gifts and talents for God. And the most incredible thing you can ever do for your life is to use your life to help somebody else's life. So when the church goes from just a place that you go to a place that you live, deal changer. So back to power. These are all different motorcycles. I like motorcycles, and when I was a little boy, my dad at Dave Munganess Harley Honda in St. Louis, he helped me buy this motorcycle. Not this exact motorcycle, because we went broke and we lost it all, but when I got money, I bought it back. So this little bike has a governor on it, both on the throttle and over here, and it limits the power because they didn't want little kids to get hurt. So when my dad helped me buy the bike, actually said, you save up as long as you could. And I saved up and I saved up and I saved up and I saved up. And one day he came into my house, and this is like God, like a good father. He came in and said, how much money you got? I poured it all out and I was only $900 short. And so my dad said, I'll make up the difference. So we went to Dave Munganat's Honda and we bought the bike. But when my dad gave me the bike, he didn't just let me go ride the bike. He had to govern it down because he didn't want me to get hurt. And may I tell you right now that some things in your life, God has governed you and throttled you down, and he can't trust you with the kind of power that he has available. But as you're faithful in the little, he'll make you ruler over the much. It takes time. Everybody shout it again. It takes time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the various powers between this bike and that bike and this bike. They all have two wheels. They all have an engine. They all have gas in them. Look at your neighbor and say, I have gas myself. Go ahead and tell them. No, don't say that. Fuel. Let's use fuel. Say fuel. Fuel's a much better term. Safer. But there's different degrees. So the Bible talks about, he came up to a person, he said, oh, you have little faith. Yeah. Another person, he said, oh, you have great faith. Yeah. He goes up to one joker and said, I've never seen such great faith. I've seen 107 cubic inches of faith on you. Then he asked another person, where is your faith? Yeah. So you've got to ask yourself a question, and not to ding anybody, but you just got to know right now that maybe you've got an obstacle and you're like praying and you're hoping it's going to happen, but you just don't have that kind of faith. Wow. Okay. But you start out here. And as you grow your faith, so what's this looks like in real life? Because I talk about real life stuff at church. If you got a headache, instead of just saying you got a headache, by the way, can't help it, a joke just flowed in my head. I don't read them like Joel. They come up at different times. This just popped up. Y'all ready for this one right here? I know it's a Sunday weekend. So the guy walks into his bedroom. He sees his wife, gives her an aspirin. She said, I don't have a headache. He said, good. Just popped up. Some of y'all get that later. If you don't get that, you probably never get it in your life. Okay, so headache. So what I'm saying before I told the joke that shouldn't be told at church. By the way, that's the kind of people that come to my church. People like you. They get it, okay? It's organic. So when you're first getting saved and you're hearing these things, you might not have the faith to, like, pull off a tumor, but you can start believing God over a headache. So when you take an Advil, and I'm not against that, if you take an Advil, take it in the name of Jesus. Say, God, I'm trusting you that you're going to heal me. I'm also taking this, but I'm taking it in faith. And then your faith starts growing. Does that make sense to anybody? And as your faith grows, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then you can have big, whopper, jumbo faith, and you come in going, rah, rah, rah. You make some noise when you come in the room versus this. You're like, nah, 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 nah. I actually have a little video by Jim Carrey. Watch this. Just remember this scene from this movie? I know I'm springing on you guys.
Got room for one more if you still want to go to Aspen.
Come on, no Tom Cruise, but you got to admit that's funny, right? He comes up, ring, ring. So we first come to Jesus, we first start learning the word, we come up and we got, ring, ring, still got room for one more to go to Aspen. But how many of y'all would like to bring your dignity up just a little bit more? Come on, not everybody one time. Raise your hand, every campus today, our city, everybody. Okay, so our faith grows. How does faith grow? Faith comes by what? Shout it.
Hearing
by the word of God. Now the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 12:12, they'll put it on the screen, it says, truly the signs of the apostles were accomplished among you, and they did signs and wonders. There were signs. Deuteronomy 6:22 says, and the Lord showed signs and wonders throughout the Old Testament. God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So I believe there ought to be signs following you all the time. Supernatural things for you to know, oh, that was God. And those things should increase your faith. So here's my question. Have you ever had something happen and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that had to be God? I know that was God. Come on, raise your hand at every campus. I just know that was God. What was that? That was a sign. Now here's where people make the mistakes. They always are fleecing God and they try to live their life by signs. Can't do that. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So we don't live our life by signs. we have confirming signs that follow what we believed in our spirit and what we heard in the word. Come on, Florida. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. Royal Palm Hospital. So your faith grows. So when I was a little boy, we lived in a trailer, a little travel trailer, and my dad was a cop. He quit his job, and he went on the evangelistic field, which means that he's going to live his life in this little trailer that's about from that motorcycle to about that speaker, and I'm going to do my school there. My dad and mom live in the back part. There's a bathroom here, and my brother, my little brother, he like is in a little bunk bed. Now, we at this point are barely eating regular for real because we go to churches and churches receive offerings, and they were poor people that we were receiving offerings from, so therefore sometimes there were no offerings whatsoever. But my dad is believing God. He's growing his faith. We're living in a trailer, and he's listening to the word. 24 hours a day, we're hearing teaching over and over. There was a thing called a cassette tape, and he put this one next to this one, and he duplicated those, and I heard it because you could not hear everything that was happening 2 feet from you in the trailer. So I had to hear it. My faith subsequently was growing. By the way, that's why you want your kids to go to church. They're being taught in all their classrooms at Faith Kids, and they're hearing the word, okay? But even at home, you need to have the word playing all the time because it gets down in their spirit. I want a better amen than that right there. My dad was the type of guy, he's like, you ain't watching that. Remember Three Is Company? He's like, you're not watching the Lust Boat? You're not, it was called the Love Boat. You ain't watching the Lust Boat? Anybody remember these stories? Remember? Love American Style. How many old people we got? Okay, so he's like, you ain't watching that. And my dad would also watch TV, and there would be a kid that talked back to his parents. And sometimes I would get in trouble for something a kid did on TV. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you what I would do to you if you ever tried that crap with me. Anybody? You didn't raise your hand. I'm assuming that's your problem. That's why you're jacked up. So we're living in this trailer, and I tell my dad I want a bike. My dad says, I don't have money for a bike, but we can believe God for a bike. So he says, come join my hands. So I grabbed his hands. He said, Father, because he said, I'm your dad, and I don't have the money to buy your bike, but our father can do it. I'm a little boy. He said, Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we're believing God for a bike. He called me Baby Dave. You don't call me Baby Dave, or you might go to hell. Certainly be excommunicated from the church. He was Big Dave. I was Baby Dave. He said, what kind of bike you want? I said, God, I want a bike with a banana seat. I want high handlebars. I want chrome fenders. I want it to be orange. My dad tells me later, he's thinking, how in the world am I going to pull this off? Because, see, my dad's thinking that he's got to do it ultimately. What if God doesn't do it? Listen, sometimes you'll try to do what only God can do. It is not your problem. It's a God problem. Come on, somebody. Get what I'm saying right now? So, fast forward. A couple weeks pass. We go. We're driving, right? So, we're driving to this town. And my dad, we're driving up to this church. And he sees a yard full of a bunch of junk bikes where a guy has put together a bunch of really bad bikes but put them together. So my dad sees it, doesn't say to me, he sees it, he gets excited, and he saw it just says $10, any bike. He had $10 to his name, that's all he had. And you got to remember, we're eating air bologna. I want to pause there and tell you. What that is, we're living there and we don't have any food, and my dad would pray over food that we didn't have and make us simulate eating. Now, you know you have a poverty mentality when you're faking eating bologna. If we're pretending, let's eat steak. Come on, somebody. What are we doing? Does that hit with anybody? But if you think broke, you'll be broke. If you say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out, and everything my hand touches to good. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think or imagine. And we eating bologna? Bologna. But that's where we were. Why? Because my dad, he was just learning these principles, so this is all the power he had. Wow. Pat, 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 pat. He didn't have that kind of power. Remember, power can save your life. So now he comes to the trailer, he knocks on the door, he snuck away, he buys the bike. He brings the bike back. He says, I got your bike. Man, you have no idea how excited I am. I'm running out of the trailer. I'm doing my homeschool, which explains a lot of my issues, right? Before you had good teachers, I just had my mom, and she wasn't that, she didn't know much. She taught me what she could, and so that's why I kind of ad-lib my reading. Come on, somebody. Help me. In fact, spell check's like, you're not even close, man. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm in the trailer, I put my school down, I run outside, and much to my amazement, that is not my bike. The bike is green. The bike is rust all over the fenders. The bike has a green seat. This part, by the way, is foam. When it gets ripped, which it does, it says a foam sticking out the top, and this is ripped. And I said, Dad, that's not my bike. My dad said, that is your bike. I just bought it for you. I said, Dad, that's not my bike. My bike is orange, and it has high handlebars, and that bike is green. And my dad pulled off his belt and said, boy, that's your bike. Just telling you how it happened. So he puts it on the front of the car to take me, to teach me how to ride it. The tow bar falls over. He runs over the bike. Now he's trying to straighten it all out. It's a total mess. This is called the Ishmael. Whenever we try to produce for what God is supposed to produce, come on, somebody, and that's why the marriage didn't work out. And that's why the business failed, because we helped God do the stunt. Somebody ought to give God 10 seconds of praise. 9, 8, 7, 6, Earth City Sunset. Somebody ought to shout amen. So now, me and him, we go back, defeated, emaciated, and I said, that's not my bike. A couple towns later, remember, when we would go to these cities, you got to remember that we don't know anybody. They don't know us. We don't know them. Back then, we didn't even have any Google. There was no nothing. You just showed up. We showed up, and we're preaching at this church. And there's a knock at the door. A guy comes up. He said, hey, Brother Crank, I live a couple doors down. I know you don't know me, but if there's any way you could go to my house, I got something I think your son might like. All of a sudden, we start walking to the guy's house, and he starts telling us a story. Just a five-minute walk. He said, my dad owned the local Western Auto here in Arkansas, and he retired. When he retired, he sold it, and he sold everything, and he opens up the closet, and out rolls my orange bike with the orange seat with the high handlebars. And I said, that's my bike! That's my bike! Somebody ought to give up. That really happened! Everybody shout, that's not my bike! This is my bike! So you can say, that's not my marriage, that's not my career, that's not my health. This is what I have on the inside of my spirit, and I'm going to get it as my faith grows from here to here, and then eventually gets to here. Now, here's how cool God is. My dad eventually, I never knew what happened to the bike at some point. It just went away. And my dad told me, he started crying one day, and he said to me, I feel so bad. When we left that town, they didn't give us any money, and we had no gas money, and I had to go to the pawn shop to a city we would never go back in, and I had to sell your bike. Well, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas, for Ed Young's church there, and there was a guy named Buddy Cremines that had heard this story. And Buddy calls me, and he said, hey, man, can you meet me at the hotel? Can you meet me in the lobby of the hotel? Yeah. He said, don't come down to the lobby for about an hour. But in an hour, come down. And this guy in New York had somebody custom make my bike to the best of his description that he possibly could in New York, and put Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all he could ask, think, or imagine. The devil stole my bike. Come on, somebody. And 20 years later, somebody gave me back my bike. So if you go in my barn today, this is there. It's a symbol to let you know, even if you lost it, God will get it back. He'll give you back your money. He'll give you back your marriage. He'll give you back your health. I dare you to praise him this weekend. Come on, Earth City. Ferguson, somebody ought to give God praise. I said, Buddy, I came down, he was putting the last screws in. I said, how'd you get this here? He said, well, we just kept putting it in pieces. We took it all apart, and we put this part in the suit back. We put this part in the back. And we put this part in the back. And then we brought it and put it back together for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's one of the kindest things anybody's ever done for me. And I'm just here to tell you that what's special to me is the things that God has given me. And then later in life, whoops, that kickstand is not so good. Let's pull it over here. Later in life, I didn't realize that now, think for instance, the high school, your rent payment on your high school is $13,000 a month to rent it, that room that you're in this morning. These air conditioning units and everything, and football fields of air conditionings and carpet and everything you do, it takes about $300,000 a week to do it. And I'm not sponsored by Bud Light, not sponsored by Chick-fil-A. I'm not sponsored by nobody. We're not even sponsored by the Assemblies of God, the Catholics. We're not sponsored by anybody. We're just independent. We're independent upon the Word of God's ability to do what God said He would do. So I'm here to tell you that it starts out here with no engine. It grows into a little bit of engine. It gets a little bit bigger. And then eventually you get faith to do what God has called you to do. And He's able to do it, but He's not going to do it without your cooperation. Does that make sense to anyone? Come on, wave your hand at me at every campus. I can see you. Okay. We're gonna slow it down just for another minute. Did that story bless you?
Yes.
So I want to tell you a story about my grandmother. But before I do, I want to go to Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, notice that's the capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So you got to picture this. God is and always has been. But the world in which you know right now was complete darkness. And God said, you're going to know the answer to this. It's easy. God said, let there be.
Light.
Shout it again. Let there be.
Light.
So God, like a hen, a mother hen, was hovering over. He was incubating what you're living in right now. The earth, we just read it, was without form. Darkness was there. Notice that God did not look out at darkness. This is key. Listen, He didn't look out at dark and say, it's really dark out there. It's as black as a black cat eating licorice in a coal bin. It is dark out there. He spoke the opposite of what He had. So we're not denying that you got pain in your knee. We're not denying that your marriage looks like it's without form, that your finances are messed up. We're not denying that. We're denying its ability to stay that way. We'll say it looks dark, but I'm going to speak light into it, right? See what I'm saying? It says, let the weak say, I am strong. And again, without sounding redundant, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I also say this, and I want you to get this. Faith also goes by hearing.
That's right.
So that's why I don't go to movies where if I find out they're going to die at the end of this movie of some tragic disease, and we're going to watch those two people die in bed together, and he's like, honey, I loved you. You were the woman of my dreams, and now you're gone. I am not going to let my wife watch that. Because she had stage 4 cancer, and she already saw in her brain she was going to die. And I saw that she was going to die. But guess what? She said she couldn't even have any kids. That's been 19 years ago, because there's a kid running around here 19 years old, because we know that faith comes by hearing, but faith also goes by hearing. See what I'm saying? But I just like that kind of music. I like that kind of movie. No, you can't like it. It's too expensive. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. So faith comes by hearing. Faith goes by hearing. My grandmother, she had limited knowledge in the area of healing. She knew all about salvation. My grandma was one of the first women preachers. She started a church in Arkansas, and she was a woman preacher way before Joyce Meyer, anybody. She was rocking it, but she only knew what she knew, and she only knew really about salvation, which is great. You go to heaven, maybe really quick if you get sick. So she had a stroke, and when she had a stroke, her faith for healing was real little. It was micro, It was like a 50cc. By this point, my dad's faith had grown to probably about this size. So my dad rolls up with his faith, and he rolls up on the scene because my grandmother, now she's not in ministry anymore, but she has a stroke, and they came, and she can't move the right side of her face. She can't move her arm, and she can't move her leg. She also allowed herself to get really unhealthy, and she weighed about 350 pounds, and she was real negative. She said, she's hot like this. And my dad came to her house, and I'm just about 10 years old. And I watched my dad pull his faith up alongside of my grandma's faith, and he looked at her in the eyes, and he said, Mabel Maxine Crank, I believe that God can heal you. And she said, I hope so. And my dad said, hey, this ain't about hoping. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, so hope's part of this. But it's the evidence of things not seen. So we're not hoping. See, most people say hope, it's the anchor of the soul. This is deep teaching, by the way. But hope without corresponding actions of faith is more like a toss of like the dice. I sure hope so. Give me a 7. No, this isn't a toss of I hope. It's confident expectation. I know he's going to do it. Somebody that pulls up beside her. He prays for her. He said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every bodily function in her body, everything that is wrong in this paralysis, and I bind you up. Paralysis, you have a name, and this name that I'm speaking over you right now is bigger than that name. And in the name of Jesus, I say you're healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, it's kind of like we said at the beginning, the axe had fallen in the water, and as soon as my dad prayed that, she started screaming, oh my God, all the paralysis is gone. And I freaked out. And she, you ever seen a shotgun house? Anybody know what a shotgun house is? Some of y'all know what a shotgun house is. A shotgun house says you open the front door, you can shoot a shotgun through the back door. That's what a shotgun house is. Just through. So she lived in a little shotgun house in the Boot Hill of Missouri, and it had a wood floor. She weighs 300 pounds. And all of a sudden, when that happened, it released her bodily fluids, and she had to run to the bathroom. So I remember the whole floor shaking as she's running to the bathroom. She goes in there, and she starts, I mean, she's like, oh my God, without being too gross. It was just unbelievable, all the medicines and everything that went out of her body. It was foul. It was demonic. She came out. She was crying. She was screaming, oh, praise God, praise God. And I'm sitting there as a little boy going, what in the world just happened? But if you see something like that, you know, hey, listen, if God did that, he can do this. And if he did that, he can do that over there. And if he did that, he could use a preacher like me to preach to somebody like you. And we can build churches, and we can go on television. We can say we're not pointing the finger at you this way, we're pointing the finger at you this way. Does anybody get what I'm saying right now? Your faith grows. I'm almost done. I'm 2 minutes and 15 seconds over. But I don't know. I just feel as if we might go longer today, and I might play the video everywhere. I don't know. I hate running back and forth on the highway with the cops chasing us. Just no fun. Now, this is an important part of the story. Do I still have your attention?
Yes.
So we stay. We spend the night. She's crying. It's amazing. My dad's making her listen to teaching tapes. He's like, Fred Price this, Kenneth Copeland. He's just ODing her on this stuff. Then the phone rang, back when they had phones, right? The phone in the house rang, ring, and her friend called her. When her friend called her up, she didn't know she had been healed, and she said, Maxine, how are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing pretty good. And my dad said, hey, stop that! Just like that. Don't you play with that because you want attention. And I remember thinking, can you talk to your mom like that? But she said, oh, no, I'm doing great. God, heal me. And blah, 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 blah. My point is you got to have a man of God to tell you, hey, stop that. Somebody ought to shout, you got to stop that. You're snared by the words of your mouth. You eat good by the fruit of your lips. You have not, because you got to say to dark, light. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Oh, that's some preaching today. Somebody ought to make some noise. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yay. I'm almost done. Now, let's go to Habakkuk 2:3, and I'll hopefully be done. Habakkuk 2:3. It says, for the vision is yet for appointed time. It takes time. I don't particularly enjoy riding a Honda 50. I like go to cruise around town. I don't typically jump on that motorcycle. How many of y'all don't even want to explain to people why your pastor is driving down the road on a Honda 50? I typically don't ride this motorcycle. These are all bikes that I've had over the years that God blessed me with. And typically want some more power. It's more fun. But it takes time. So you're not going to increase your faith to the level that you want it to be overnight. You got to grow from little faith to greater faith. And the Bible says we go from faith to faith, glory to glory, victory to victory. But there's a whole lot of waiting. And then the last thing I'll talk about on technical stuff, a lot of mechanics and motorcycle people in here today, all of our campuses. And there's a little petcock on the bottom of this right here. So if fuel sits in here and fuel goes down here, and I tried to start that right now, first of all, this is a Kickstarter, and I tried to start it, and I didn't try to start it in a while, that gas gels up in there, and I might call Rich Seiberg, my guy in Florida, and say, Rich, come clean it out, or maybe Dwayne Doyle, or my guys here in St. Louis, or Corvette Chuck, and they'd have to take that apart. But there's a little screw here, and if I unscrew that, it drains all the gas out of here, and the fresher gas comes down, and it's not all gunky anymore, it's better. I say that to say this. Your spiritual tank can become just clogged up. And then you're just like, oh man, I can't seem to start. I don't feel like going to church today. I just can't get, and you kick yourself, you can't get started. But again, it goes back to those people. I'd call Avery. Avery can fix it. He dreams. Even his wife said he actually snores like, I don't know if it's true, just know what she told me. But you need some people around you to challenge your faith, because everybody here is pregnant with something. Everybody here has a dream at every single campus today. And so we got to grow it. And as we grow our faith, first of all, it gives glory to God. Everybody shout, I want to give glory to God. And secondly, it gets you out of jams. I actually had a guy try to attack me not long ago, last summer. He didn't like, his wife had apparently, well, I heard the story later, she left him because he beat her, and she got the spiritual power and fortitude. He saw me at a red light, came up on me with a baseball bat. I was sitting there, didn't even know it. And I happened to be on a motorcycle faster and badder than this one. And as soon as I looked, the Holy Ghost just had me look. I looked in my mirror, and I saw a guy in a rearview mirror coming up with the bat. And I felt in my Shonda that I needed to move it. I like to move it. And I took off, wow, through the middle of the traffic down there. And man, that guy, he got in his car, and he was chasing. I don't even know how he kept up with me forever. I was doing my own stunts that day. I'm like, my God, this guy wants to kill me. My point is, in that true story, is if I'd have been on this, I would have died, because he was angry and he had a bat, and I typically don't carry those. Well, I didn't. Now I'm like, Nicole, get your bat. Let's go. But she wasn't with me. I was alone. But your power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead at every campus, it's in you. And when the devil tries to sneak up behind you, fasting will be your rear guard. And you'll say, I got on the helmet of salvation. I got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I've got my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Even Dom here, jump up here, Dom, real quick. I'm going to show you my shoes. My shoes even are faith shoes, because Dom had these Jordans made with Faith Church logo on them. And these are my faith boots right here because of Dom. Come on, give it up for Dom. So it's easy to walk. Somebody ought to give God praise. It's easy to walk by faith in these. Put my shoe back on. I always try to take my shoe off. It keeps people from wanting to shake my hand. People wave at me like, stand up with me at every campus. Don't nobody go anywhere. I want you to move. I don't want you leaving. So let's think about the beginning of the sermon. We started out and we saw a really cool 60-year-old guy do his own stunts, and he had to practice over and over and over. Remember that? They're like, oh, he's done this jump 60 times a day. Today? He could have said, I'm 60. I don't want to jump that much. You can say, I don't want to go to church every week. My gosh, weekend? Every weekend? What? Weekends? Yeah, it's a big deal. I was talking to a guy this week, and he had a stroke. And he's probably 80, I would say, I'm just guessing, I didn't ask him, but just watching his motor functions, I would say he's 80%. And he had moved away. He's actually here at church today. And I looked at him and I said, you're in the wrong city and you're at the wrong church. And if you want the rest of that, you're going to have to move because you're just at the wrong place. And I explained it to him like this. I said, at Christmas time, you could be like just one house away from the house you're supposed to be, and there's no presents with your name on it under the tree. So you go to this house, and they go, we don't even know you. But one house over, your name says, hey, David, I can't go to somebody else's house. It's not my place. So you can be at the wrong space in the wrong house, and you're the wrong house. You don't get the gifts that belong to you. And I'm not saying that it's not a great church somewhere where he lives, but it's just every once in a while, if you get a big problem, you need somebody that can talk to you about strokes, that can talk to you about headaches. I helped your sex life with the Anacin thing. Come on, remember that deal? All these things make for a better life. But again, nothing wrong with my grandma, but if you went to her church, she didn't know anything about healing. So you can't teach what you don't know. So you can't really do your own stunts because nobody's ever jumped off like, I think Mr. Cruz can talk about things you and I have never done. How many of y'all, you're not going to give me any tips about jumping off cliffs or anything like that, right? Well, the most because you've never done that. How many of y'all never even plan on doing that? Raise your hand. Right? So there are some people that have been where you actually need to go. And as I close, I'm going to pray a prayer. But if you're going through something, know that you're not just going through it, you're going to it, and that's why the enemy's fought you so hard. And God had me preach this message this weekend to every campus so you can see the different levels of little faith, greater faith, where is your faith, never seen such great faith, and you grow in these areas. But if you have a sickness or if you have a disease, I'm just telling you, get to a church like this one that believes. We don't say, well, you never know what God's going to do. He may heal you. Well, the Lord just took you. No, the Lord doesn't kill, steal, and destroy. The devil does that. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said with long life, he'd satisfy you. Come on, somebody, and show you his salvation. Every campus today, close your eyes right now, stretch your hands. Nobody moving around. Earth City, Ferguson, Royal Palm, Sunset, every single one online. Weldon, God, I ask you in your Holy Spirit to move in and out every row, up and down every aisle. Father, we decree and declare right now by faith that we are healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, that no weapon that is formed, yes, it is formed, but it will not prosper. And God, we know there are degrees of even manifestation. When the blind man was healed, he said, oh, I'm healed, but I see the men look like trees because it was increasing. But God, stroke victims, they're going to start getting back all their movement. People that have cancer, we're noticing that they are seeing major improvement. People that have children with disabilities, they're going to improve. They'll come to church and they'll love it, and they won't even be upset about the noise or the lights. They're just going to increase in their healing. God, we speak it and we decree it and we declare it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. Come on, you can do better than that today. Every campus, make some noise.